Oh, man. So thankful that he is. If you're puzzled, I invite you to turn to Judges chapter 6. Judges, the 6th chapter. In Judges chapter 6, I will start down in verse 11. Bible says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an altar that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat behind the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Then Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this time high, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. And God, I send thee. Then he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, thy family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Then the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt strike the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, and now I have found grace in thy sight. Then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not yet, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth thy present, and set it before thee. And he said, I won't tarry until thou come again. Then Gideon went in, and made ready a tent, and 11 cakes of an ephah of flour, the flesh they put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, then brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. Then the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh in the unleavened cake and laid him upon this rock and poured out the broth into his mouth. Then the angel of the Lord fled toward the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh in the unleavened cake. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh in the unleavened cake. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. That is reading verses 11 through 21 of Judges chapter number 6 today. The picture painted for us in the first 10 verses of this chapter paints for us a picture of the trouble. The Midianites were plundering the land, and the people were hiding in dens and caves for 7 years. The problem continued until they called on the Lord. And now in our text, God begins to work in a young man's life, James Gideon. God was getting ready to send him a man to deliver him of the Midianites' hands. Gideon would be God's hand for the crisis. But I will say this, Gideon is an unlikely hero. I realize today our heroes of our day are the ones that score 30 plus points per game in basketball. They bat over 300 and hit 50 home runs in a season. They're the ones that lead their teams to the Super Bowl. They're the ones that entertain thousands and big millions. But I say God has a whole different brand of heroes. God's heroes come in various packages. God's heroes all the cash that punch a clock. God's heroes are the kind that washes dishes and they mow lawns. They are the ones that sometimes say no when you want to do certain things. They are ordinary people that have faith in an extraordinary God. I'm glad for just ordinary people. faithful, and if it come, he will lose him my life. I'm not talking about sports or entertainment. Talking about moms and dads, grandpas and grandpas, Sunday school teachers, preachers, deacons, faithful church members, they are heroes in my life. I thank God for them today. But when we first meet Gideon, Gideon doesn't look much like a man of faith. But before the day is done, God will work in his heart. And Gideon will be a man that trusts God. I like to preach for a little while on this thought of a crisis in the life of faith. I realized that Israel was in a crisis, but so was Gideon. Gideon was in his own crisis about believing God. But if God was going to make him the leader and the one that guides Israel to victory, God was going to have to work on his life. First of all, I noticed in our text the presence that startled Gideon. Bible says in 1 Samuel 7, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Ephraimite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. Bible says that Gideon was hiding in the wine press threshing wheat that he might hide it. You say, preacher, why is that important? Because the threshing floor was always on a high place. The threshing floor would be on a mountain, on a hill. Yes, they would take the wheat, toss it in the air, so the wind would catch the chaff and blow it away. The grain would fall back down. They would keep doing the wheat that way till the chaff was all gone. But Gideon wasn't in the threshing floor. Bible said it was by the wine press preacher, what's the difference? The wise prince that was in a valley. That's where Gideon was. Physically, that's where he was. Spiritually. Do you know what a valley is? I read the definition. It says that this, that a valley is a dry land lying between two mountains. They went on to say this. Valleys that can be very long. I believe that Gideon wasn't only in a valley physically, but he's in a lowland. Gideon was in a depression. Gideon was in a valley in his own heart. In her. Maybe that's where some of you are today. Maybe there are people right here. If you were honest with say, preacher, I maybe don't show it on my face, but in my heart, I am in a valley. I've been a low hand. Gideon was there trying to take care of his family, trying to do what was right. But Gideon was in a valley. But I notice what God begins to do. First of all, he says unto the angel of the Lord, appeared unto him. The Lord showed up that day. Some might say that preacher, it says that it was the angel of the Lord. Usually when you find that phrase in the Old Testament, it is a reference to a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Christ. It was the Lord showed up that day. Matter of fact, in verse 14, it says, and the Lord looked upon him. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him. That ought to take away any question of who this was. Gideon was there. All of a sudden, the Lord shows up. Aren't you glad today that even though you may be in the valley, God knows right where you are. God knows the position you're in. God knows the place you're at. I'm reminded of it in the book of Mark. The disciples were on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was on the mountain. But Mark says in chapter 6, verse 48, and he saw him calling and rowing For the wind was contrary unto him. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto him, crouching on the sea. You may feel yourself in the lowest, darkest, deepest hell that you've ever been. But there's a God in heaven that knows right where you are. He knows the place. He knows what you're doing. You know what I don't find in the text? I don't find the Lord showing you, saying, Gideon, what in the world are you doing here? God knew all about it. God knew the hurt of his heart. God knew the difficulty the nation was facing. And God knew right where he was. And God knows right where you are. God knows the battle you're fighting. God knows the burden you're carrying. God knows the depths of your family today. But I not only see here the presence that startled him, but I see the pronouncement that searched him. Says that when the Lord spoke to him in verse 12, he says, the Lord is with thee, the mighty man of valor. Be honest with you, Gideon really doesn't look like the mighty man of valor. But God sees in Gideon what he was going to make out of him. God sees how he's going to use him. But the Lord says unto him, he says, the Lord is with thee. What God says to Gideon searches his heart and his attitude. You say his attitude, yeah. You see, I believe Gideon has a attitude problem about the whole situation. Notice verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is all this befallen us? Ready on his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Gideon had an inattitude problem about the whole situation. Sometimes it's hard to see yourself blessed when everything's going wrong. Let that soak in a minute. Sometimes you look back, see what God's done back there. Sometimes you read your Bible, then you look and say, God, you did miracles. God, you did great things. God, I know people you healed. God, I know people that you worked in their situation. But where's my blessing? Oh, why is it you touched me in my situation? Sometimes it's hard to see yourself as blessed when things are going wrong. That's where Gideon was. Gideon could remember the days of old. He remembered the stories of God bringing him out of Egypt bondage. But then he said, the Lord hath forsaken us to deliver us into the Midianites' hands. You see, Gideon laid the problem on the doorstep of God. Gideon was saying, God, where are you? Just say, God has blessed us. But where's he at? The devil, our enemy, always attacks the character of God. That was Satan's mode of operation in the Garden of Eden. Really approached Eve. He said that we can eat of this one tree. God said not to eat unless we die. But the devil says God's been holding out. God hadn't been upright with you. God hadn't told you all the truth. God knows if you eat, your eyes will be open. You'll see what you've never seen. The devil always attacks the character of God. And he does that in our hearts. I'll be honest, there have been some very, very low days in my life. And the enemy would whisper in my ear, where's your God now? Seems like God forgot where you were. Seems like God's left you to face this all by yourself. What about his love? Where is it now? Sometimes what we're dealing with causes our attitude about God to be wrong. Gideon is saying, will you say the Lord is with me? But I'm just not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it. Sometimes we look at our situations and say, or why does my situation never change? God, it's looking more and more like things aren't going to get better. I'm not going to have some good days. I'm not going to be able to make it. God, it just don't seem to be happening. Sometimes we get there. But aren't you glad, I say again, aren't you glad the Lord knows how to come in those times, speak to our hearts. So what happens? I notice the promise that secures Gideon. Look at verse 14. And they looked upon him and said, "Do in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I said thee?" And he said unto him, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? For all my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house." And the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." I am so thankful that when we face the burdens of life, the Lord knows how to speak to our hearts, bring words of encouragement, words of challenge, words of strength. I know at times it is such a great blessing when family and friends and loved ones pass by us and hug our necks and say, "We're praying for you. Just keep leaning on the Lord. Just trusting God will help you." And I'll be honest, those are encouraging. But there's just something about it when the God of heaven walks into your valley, sits down under an oak where you're at, and says, "I'm with you." I've had the Lord on some occasions in my life to do just that. I've had the Lord, it seemed like, just showed up at such a hard time and took a seat beside me and said, "I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to get you through this." What a blessing it is. Can I say something today that we need to be more interested in? His presence than having all the answers. Sometimes we think, "God, if you'll just give me the answer, I'll be all right." Sometimes He never gives us the answer. But He says, "I'll be with you." I believe that's what Moses figured out when he was about to lead the children of Israel on toward Canaan land. God promised Moses and said, "My presence will go with you." Moses responded and said, "If thy presence go not with me, then carry us not up hence." Moses was saying, "Lord, if you're not going to go with me, I don't want to go. If you're not going to walk through the valley with me, I don't want to go." I want to tell you, sometimes God doesn't give us all the answers to our questions, but He'll sure give you some promises that will anchor you and hold you fast till he does a work in your heart. See, and I'm just going to touch on it and I'm done. I see the peace that surrounded Gideon. Starting in verse 17 and on down. Seems like Gideon has now got his eyes off himself and off the situation and got his eyes on the Lord. But he says, I'm going to kind of paraphrase it. He says, Lord, if you'll do something for me, just to give me assurance that you are the one talking with me. Said, I want to give you a present. If you'll just stay right here. And the Lord says, I'll stay right here. So Gideon goes and he takes a kid, kills it, gets it ready to eat, gets drunk, bakes some bread, brings that all to the Lord and sets it down in a basket. And the Lord says, set it here on this rock. So Gideon set it and he poured the broth over it and said, the angel of the Lord touched it with his staff. Fire came out of the rock and consumed it, verifying that it was God that had promised him these things. But I want you to see the very end of the story in verse 24. Steve, welcome back to 23. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Say, preacher, what does that all mean? Gideon started thinking, you know, I've seen the Lord and I'm going to die because of all that. And the Lord said, Gideon, you're not going to die. Peace be unto you, fear not. So Gideon just made an altar, called it Jehovah Shalom. Preacher, what does that mean? It means the Lord my peace. The Lord my peace. I want to tell you, if we can get to that point in our life, where we say, God, you don't have to explain everything to me. You don't have to tell me why and wherefore. Or you don't have to tell me what all's going to be and why it hasn't happened yet. And I'm just going to keep trusting you because you're the one that gives peace in my heart. There's nobody can give peace like Jesus. There's no words that anybody can say unto us that gives peace. Like when he says peace, it has happened. There may be somebody here today that you're in a valley deep. You may be thinking, you know, I've prayed and it seems like nothing's changed and nothing's improving. Nobody seems to care that I'm hurting so bad. But there's a God in heaven knows right where you are. And he'll somewhere, sometime, he'll sit down beside you under an oak in your valley. And he'll begin to say unto you, I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. We'll get through all this together. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. Maybe you need to hear His voice of peace in your heart and in your life. What did Gideon do that day? He just verifies, I'm going to believe Him and I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. And he does. You hold out in the story. What do you need today from the Lord? Maybe you're in your own crisis of faith. Maybe you are hearing the voice of the enemy saying, where's God now? Been dealing with your problem for a long time. Why ain't God helped you? But the Lord knows where you are. And He loves you and He cares. And He will speak to your heart. You're ready. Brother Kevin, let's give us a song. We're going to stand just a moment of time and we'll sing a song of invitation. There may be somebody here today that you may be thinking, you know, that's where I'm at. That's what I'm dealing with in my own life, in my own heart. I'm in a deep depression. I'm in a low land. Seems like it's been awfully long. God's able to help you today if you come to Him. Find you a place. Gideon made him an altar. You can find you a place in an altar. And just say, Lord, here I am. I give you my all. Help me just to keep trusting you. Encourage my heart and help me give peace. But only you can give and He'll do it for you today. While we stand, while we sing, would you come? Would you come?